Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley and Steve Nelson with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the part one to the weekend newsletter for Sunday, August 2nd. In this part one of the weekend newsletters, Steve and I are going to discuss the general market analysis. Firstly, I'm going to discuss the bigger picture. I've been getting a few questions about that, so I'm going to cover that. Then secondly, Steve is going to discuss the daily intermediate term, as well as the 60-minute charts, 15-minute charts, the intraday charts, etc. Finally, I'm going to discuss at the end some notes on the mechanical trading systems. And later this evening, I'm going to send out one more newsletter. It's on commodities, and I'm also going to have quite a few gold and gold stock charts in that newsletter. Since I have quite a few gold stocks charts, I didn't want to include them in this newsletter because there's quite a few of them, and it was going to make it too long. So let's go and get started. It's getting late. The first table here in this newsletter shows you what the major indexes, sectors, and commodities did last week. As you can see, it was generally an up week. However, momentum is starting to wane. The major indexes, which are the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, NDX, and Russell 2000, gained anywhere from about 0.3 to 1%, with the Russell leading. But momentum is starting to wane, as from what you've seen in the last few weeks. Sector-wise, was generally an up week. However, you see some red in here finally, and though banks and financials did play some catch-up. Commodity-wise, we're a mixed bag, and again, I'm going to be discussing that in the next this part two of the newsletters. And news-wise this week, quite a bit of economic news on the calendar, as you can see here, but the big news item of the week will be the jobs data on Friday. The first set of charts here are bigger picture charts. The first chart is a weekly chart of the S&P, and again, nothing has changed in our longer-term analysis. This is the same chart that we've had for many weeks and many months in all the newsletters. It shows that the bull market ended in October 2007, and we had the big, vicious bear market decline from October 2007 to March 2009 of this year. And we label that as primary wave A of a larger degree bear market rally. And in March, in later March, when it became evident that a nice intermediate bottom was put in, Steve and I stated that a countertrend bear market rally was starting and that it could rally as much as 38 to 50% of the entire decline, and that would have put the S&P up around 1,015 and possibly up to 1,122. And because the S&P has not even yet made it to the first target that we gave back then, we still consider this our primary count. We've had some members and other people come out that said, hey, you know, are you going to change your count? This could be a new bull market. And, you know, we don't think it is, but there's no reason for us to change our long-term analysis considering the fact that nothing has changed. The market is doing what we said it would do. You know, it hasn't even made it to our first major price target. So this remains our long-term analysis, that we're in some kind of primary trend, primary countertrend bear market rally, i.e. wave B in red there. And when it's over, then we'll have another decline. So for now, that's our primary wave count. Breakpoint Trades, we play the intermediate term trend rally. And so basically, we don't trade off of prognostications. We identify the breakpoints and we react to the market. And the next chart is a monthly chart of the S&P that we've shown many times. It uses a 20-month moving average. And the 20-month moving average, you know, for the last, since the early 90s, has worked fairly well at defining bull and bear markets. But it's not perfect, and it doesn't work all the time. It's just a guideline. As just as in the chart above, the first chart, which was the weekly chart, the 89-week moving average has been working fairly well over the years. But it's not a perfect thing. It's not something to work forever and not something you can necessarily trade off of. The third chart is another weekly chart of the S&P, and this is one I'm specifically getting a lot of questions on. It uses two moving averages, a 13 and 34 weekly moving average, and it's also been fairly good since the 90s at defining bull and bear markets. You can see it defined the start of the bear market in 2000, start of the bull market in 2003, and this bear market in January 2008. You can see right now the 13 is very close to crossing the 34 week moving average. So, does that mean a new bull market is starting? Well, we don't think so, because of many reasons. First off, because the long-term Elliott wave count suggests that it's a larger degree bear market rally. Number two, the steepness of the rally, you can see the moving average has been straight up. And generally, when I looked in the past 50 years, when you had an instance like this, you generally would get some kind of whipsaw, kind of like you've seen back in 1998 there. You've seen where I have the circle. And so it's possible you could get something like that. And those of you who trade the mechanical systems that we have in our premium content section of the website, you see the same thing many times. You get whipsaws, and so it's possible we could just get another whipsaw. So we are not labeling this as a bear market rally. And again, it depends on how you label. Let me start over. We're not labeling this as a bull market. We're labeling this as a countertrend bear market rally. And really, bull and bear markets are... it really depends on how you define them. If you define a rally of 30% as a bull market, well then, sure, we're in a bull market. So, it's kind of a loose term anyway. And the next two charts are another example of this. This is the next chart's a daily chart of the S&P that goes back to 1997. It uses a 50 and 200-day exponential moving average. And you can see these are not yet close to crossing to the upside, and you can see back in 97 it also whipsawed. And the next two charts are just some longer term, some charts of this in the prior term. You can see the 50 and 200 exponential moving average of the S&P from 1987 on. You can see generally well it worked fairly well defining some of the trends there, but it whipsaws quite a bit. And however, in the 70s, here's a chart of the Dow. You can see just by following the 50 and 200-day exponential moving average crossovers, you can get some whipsaw once in a while. And so again, these moving average crossover systems are guidelines. They're not the magic thing. Sometimes they'll work, sometimes they won't. And if you're dead set on following something like that for a 401k, well, then you have to adhere to it explicitly. If it were to give a buy signal and you went into it, then it were to give a sell signal later on, then you have to exit. But as far as trading 401ks, we don't view that this is a very good, at least at this time, a very, at least for personal reasons, something I wouldn't be doing, because especially with the market up 50% off of it or 40% off of its lows. And Steve, do you have anything to add to this?
Nope, I'll sum it all up. Our strategy at Breakpoint Trade is to identify the intermediate term trend. Okay? Intermediate term trends usually run weeks and can carry into months at a time. What we want to be positioned on the right side of the intermediate term trend. So those are the trends that are going to catch the big moves. Okay? And if an intermediate trend ends up subdividing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up, we're going to have 1 up, 2 down, 3 up, 4 down, 5 up. Okay? We take pride in trying to be able to identify all of those intermediate trends instead of just attempting to say, well, here's the longer term trend. If we simply traded off the 1334, we would have never bought any stocks off of the March bottom. Simply put, it never gave us a buy signal. Okay? So, as Matt correctly put, it's best viewed as a guideline. We use Elliott Wave as a roadmap, these bigger, longer-term moving average crossroads as guidelines. Okay, from there, in using a top-down approach, we go down to the daily charts. And daily charts, as well as weekly charts, can keep us on the right side of the intermediate trend. Now, in today's world, with computers being fast and the news hitting, we can somehow, at times, have intermediate trends that unfold in a matter of weeks that previously may have taken 10 years. So things are much different now, and we have to adjust to the times and the type of volatility we're seeing. But overall, we want every member here to focus in on the intermediate trend, okay? That is the key trend in making money. I'm sure your primary reason here is, number one, to perhaps preserve your capital, but number two is to grow your capital. And the best way to grow your capital is to be focused on the intermediate trend and trade with that trend. And if you do so, you will grow your capital. What our concern is, because of the devastation that's occurred in our initial leg down, and the fact that things are not all rosy in Denmark, unlike the media wants to proclaim it, is that we'll have to turn our focus to preservation of capital as much as making money. But enough said about this subject. I think Matt did a good job of giving some illustrations above. And the key thing, and I've alluded to this many times, is to focus in on the intermediate trend. Okay? For those of you in 401ks, that may mean adjusting after 4 weeks. We saw the intermediate trend on June 11th change. We went conservative. It ended on July 8th. Could it have gone lower? Sure, but it didn't. It turned back up and ended up getting a confirmed buy signal sometime thereafter, around the 13th, 14th, 15th, something like that, when it took out its pivots. When that happens, we have to adjust. We don't know if it will follow through and go up 10, 20%, but if it does, we certainly don't want to be on the wrong side of that intermediate trend. Sometimes the intermediate trends last very few weeks, and sometimes they may last 12, 15, 18 weeks, maybe months, maybe many, many months. So we cannot tell typically at the start unless we, and that's one reason why we implement Elliott Wave, is because once we see that we are in primary third waves, we tend to give things more leeway, because those intermediate trends are typically going to be the longest. Anyway, this is getting to be a long discussion, so let me just summarize once again, saying let's focus on the intermediate trend, and if we do so, we will be quite profitable. Anything else, Matt, or I'm going to move into the daily charts?
The only other thing is that, you know, the 50 and 200 EMA, in my opinion, worked better anyway than the 1334. But otherwise, whatever you say, it makes perfect sense. Let's go ahead and move on.
Yep, let's go. But by the way, those are all good guidelines. They have been effective. And certainly, they're something to keep an eye on. And if they are something that lines up with your time horizon, trade objectives, by all means, implement them. Use them as a stopgap, okay, in your analysis. But as Matt alluded to, if you get a buy signal and it's 2 weeks later that you get a sell signal, then you have to adhere to it, simply put. All right, let's move into the daily charts. Before I do so, I want to comment on where we left off last week. And it's important now, because off of the July 8th lows, we have now moved up in five waves. We cannot say unequivocally at this time whether wave five has completed or not. I would say the odds favor that it probably put in a high last Thursday, but until we come down and take out a shorter-term pivot low, we cannot unequivocally say we might not get a little further follow-through early this week. So The key point I'm making is that we are late in this advance. Wave fives are ending waves. Now, that doesn't mean we have to roll over and move down 40, 50, 60% off of the highs. Anything is possible. We could get a partial retracement that takes us down to the wave four low. That may be the only retracement if it's an ABC up. On the other hand, it could be the end, and I am saying this, the end of the entire rally. So, that is why when we get to end of a wave five, we want to begin to tighten stops, manage our trades accordingly, and watch the nature and extent of the ensuing pullback. If it's gradual in nature, allowing the overbought oscillators to unwind, coming back, finding support in at an appropriate fib level where you only do a partial retracement, allowing yourself to position for another rally up, then so be it. On the other hand, if we start turning down impulsively, breaking below our July 8th lows, then needless to say, the ABC scenario is not going to unfold. So once we get to wave five, which we're either in or completed, we have to be aware of the ensuing pullback and have to analyze the structure of that pullback. It is far too early to give any type of conclusions at this time. As I alluded to, we may not have even completed wave five. So let's move into the daily charts now. And before I do that, though, I do want to reiterate, and I don't know if Matt said this, we saw a small change in the McClellan oscillator on Friday of 2.33 points. Normally, this is followed by a large price move. This typically occurs either a day, 2 or 3 days after such a reading. So early next week, we have to be on the lookout for a large price move. Could it be to the upside? Yes. Odds, I think, in this case would probably favor a pullback. The McClellan oscillator small change by itself does not predict the direction, only the fact that we're likely to get a large percentage move. In terms of other things that I noticed, and I want to bring this up, as this advance is getting, let's just say, mature, we're starting to see the advanced decline line, the 10-day advanced decline line, diverge against price. And what I mean by that is breadth, the number of stocks, are not confirming these recent highs. So we're not seeing the breadth of the stocks moving up confirming this latest push. So that's normally and typical in or around some type of topping formation. Whether or not it's going to be a major top, a minor top, it's far too early to state. Again, we'll see on the ensuing pullback. The other thing that I want to point out is speculation has been growing on this advance. We've seen the NASDAQ continually outperform the S&P. You look at a ratio chart there, it has been going up, 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 okay? As money continues to flow into more speculative items. This normally occurs as well. The other thing that I want to point out is sentiment is growing. It's turning bullish. We see it on our board, and we see it in other indicators. Is it at extreme levels? No. But it is at levels that are much higher than where we were just back a couple of months ago. So we've come a long way. When we talked about this counter trend wave two, primary wave two, we said that by the time it's over, many people will start wondering if this is a new bull market. That's what the markets do. They swing you to one side to another. They confuse the masses. It's all a matter of sentiment, psychology, addressing how people are feeling. When people are feeling bullish, their sentiment is better. When people are feeling bearish, they're negative. Okay? And once you get to an extreme, there is no way to know exactly when it's going to end just on sentiment measures alone. What it is a warning sign that we're getting to extremes. We're seeing that in the U.S. dollar. There are 5% bulls in the U.S. dollar. 5%. The last time I talked about a number that low was in March, when there was 2% U.S. bulls in the stock market. Okay? So, it doesn't tell us it's going to turn immediately, but it tells us when it turns, it's likely to be a powerful rally. Enough said on those factors. Now let's get into the charts. And since not a lot has changed since the end of last week, and we do nightly updates, we're going to get through this fairly quickly. The first chart I'm showing here is how we have labeled the advance off of the March lows. Now that I think about it, I'd probably shift the first AB down to the end of March, early April. But in the bigger scheme of things, it's irrelevant. We view this as an ABC advance in purple off of the March lows. And as of now, we view wave C in purple as possibly subdividing as an ABC in red. Okay? Needless to say, we have either completed or are still in red wave A up. Again, we will not know how this unfolds until we see the following pullback. If we were to pull back and break below 869.32, which were the July 8th lows, that would negate this scenario. It would say that our purple wave C is already in place. So, as long as we only do a partial retracement of this advance, it's orderly, we can expect another move up, but only time will tell. So that's a hypothetical depiction of what may unfold, but the most important thing we're saying tonight is we are at or near the end of intermediate wave A, and we're anticipating some type of consolidation and or pullback to materialize in the coming days. Since we moved up for 3 weeks, and assuming intermediate wave A is in, we can assume that wave B will unfold in perhaps about a week. Why a week or so? Because we have time symmetry. So the primary move is wave A up, the corrective move is wave B down, a third or a half time, you know, would be a symmetry type corrective move. Hopefully you understand that. 3 weeks up, a week, week and a half down would be, would fit in with a Fibonacci type correction in terms of time. Something to keep in mind should we start pulling back. Now let's move on and look at the some of these other charts. The next chart is another daily view of the S&P showing this megaphone-type formation. Broadening top is the term, expanding triangle. You can see on Thursday as we thrust out of that, and we talked about on Wednesday night that we felt we were in a wave four consolidation. We got that thrust up on Thursday, a consolidation day on Friday, but we're starting to see momentum wane here. We're starting to see dojis appear, black candles appear, spinning tops appear, and we are up against trend line resistance. Is it possible we break through there? Yes, but with momentum waning and the fact that we are now in our fifth wave up, we need to tighten stops and be more a little more cautious about picking long entries here. You can get what happens in wave fives is you can get a lot of false breaks. So you get breakouts, they go up for a while, they turn and come down. If you're going to trade them quickly if they show any signs of weakness. Anyway, this chart is indicative of some resistance up at these levels, as well as we've already met some of the price targets that I gave on Wave 5 on Wednesday night. The next chart shows that chart that I showed on Wednesday night, us breaking out of this little wave four consolidation. I talked about an initial target between 987 and 1006. Well, we got up to, I believe, 996 in a fraction. Again, can we push a little higher? Yes, it's possible. But it's also possible that we put in a high here last Thursday. And we're very late in this move, and it's time to become a little more cautious with respect to playing the long side. You can also see the clear negative divergences that are in place and have formed on these last pushes higher. You have prices moving higher, and the RSI, as illustrated by the declining red lines on the RSI and the MACD on this S&P 60 minute chart, that is negative divergence. Price making higher high, not being confirmed by higher highs in the RSI and the MACD. In fact, on the MACD, we have multiple points of negative divergence. The next chart is a 30-minute chart showing the rising channel in place on the S&P. Yes. Have we adjusted that channel a couple times? Yes, we have. Quite honestly, the channel was quite steep when we first unfolded, but we also correctly talked about this wave four unfolding. We got the push up. Now the question is, if we do break down decisively out of this channel, then we would be helping to confirm that our five waves are complete. Again, it may only be a shallow pullback where it forms a little triangle consolidation. It may be a flat. It may be a zigzag. If we get a zigzag, that's when we're going to get our deeper correction. I have included some Fibonacci retracement levels on here that can guide us in terms of a possible pullback that may unfold. Again, the first thing to watch would be this lower trend line of this channel, and then again, breaking below our previous lows late last week around 982, and then, of course, our pivot lows down here at the 968-ish area. Those are the important support areas. Again, if you're playing short, that's fine. Set a stop appropriate with your risk tolerance, and again, don't assume that we're going to get just a fall out of the bed correction like we saw last fall. If it occurs, so be it. But if it's not going in your direction and it's only willing to consolidate and work off its overbought readings, then that's all it's going to do. So have a plan and execute upon that plan in accordance with your own trade objectives. What's right for you may not be right for someone else. Please remember that. Now let's move on and look at the 15-minute chart of the S&P. Here you see a rising channel in place off of the lows on the 21st. Here's another little guideline to follow in terms of possible support, whether it holds or be breached down below, should we move down below. The next chart is a 30-minute chart of the transports. Why do I have this in here? Simple. The transports actually made a higher high on Friday that was not confirmed on Friday by the industrials. So we do have some small divergence just here at the end of this move between the transports and the industrials. Not overall, but just on Friday. And that, too, may be sending an early signal that our Wave 5 may have completed. Again, if the industrials have a little rally early next week and this is negated, so be it. But we are certainly in the later stages of this particular 5-wave advance. The next chart is a daily chart of the Dow. Here again, very similar to the S&P, showing the megaphone or broadening top. You can see the Dow actually tagged that upper trend line, and here too was repelled. We are overbought on the dailies, RSI overbought. Do we have clear sell signals there? No, we're just overbought. Overbought by itself is not a sell signal, but we are up against resistance, and as we've alluded to, we are in wave five, which is an ending wave. of this advance. Again, the nature and extent of the pullback will be telling. The next chart is a chart I presented on Wednesday again, and this shows the alternative to the earlier count, and this count suggests that the entire advance may be coming to a close or may have come to a close last Thursday. Again, we won't know, and no one knows. No one knows until after the fact whether or not a high has been put in. We don't want to try to pick tops and bottoms. We're just showing you what is possible. And this is a possible alternative count that suggests that the market may be topping out here or has topped out, as this count exemplifies. Again, what gives this count some credence would be the next chart. The next chart is a chart of the U.S. dollar, which is trading inverse to the S&P and Dow. And what you see here is that we have the dollar currently in wave 5 down. Now, should the dollar start to turn around and move impulsively up, okay, then this particular alternative count that's shown on the Dow starts to gain credence, especially if the relationship between the dollar and these indexes holds. What do I mean by that? I mean if the dollar starts moving up sharply and the indexes start pulling back sharply, okay, and breaking below our July lows, then we could be stating that we are starting our primary wave C down. Over. Party over. Rally over. On the other hand, if the dollar just meanders down for a while, works and doesn't impulsively move up, maybe it allows us to have a small pullback and then we rally back up one more time later this summer into early next fall. So, what are we getting out of this? We're stating that the U.S. dollar is something to monitor and its relationship to the market is something to monitor, and we're going to be doing so going forward. Again, there are only 5% bulls as identified by TradeFutures.com on the U.S. dollar. So, yeah, can it go down, and are there fundamental reasons for it going down? You betcha, just like there was for the stock market back in March. But there's not many people that believe it can go up. And when everybody's on one side of the boat, we got to be careful for when it starts turning. Because when it starts turning, there's a hell of a lot of people that are on the wrong side of the boat. And that's what creates longer, more powerful rallies. And thus, if this dollar starts turning and completing wave 5 down, it's likely to be a more pronounced, longer-term move. Maybe it starts out gradually, allowing the market to complete another leg up, but over time, with 95% bears, it's likely to be something that's sustained for many weeks. Again, we'll take it one day at a time, but it's something to monitor. The next chart is just a 30-minute chart of the Dow showing the rising channel. Again, if you're trading the Dow, this lower channel line is your initial support area, and then we've got shelf support here under our wave 4 low, let's just say around the 9,000 area. We've got the appropriate Fibonacci type levels in there. Should we get an orderly pullback, these would be potential targets if we break below this 9,000 area. The next chart is a daily chart of the Qs. I'm not showing any of the NASDAQ composite charts tonight. I'm focusing in on the Qs. I'll try to alternate during the intraday weeks, but here again, you can see we came up on the Qs, tagged a resistance area, put in a black candle, followed by another red candle, doji. At a minimum, you can say that upside momentum is waning, and these are candles that typically mark reversals. How deep of a pullback? Again, it's too early to say. But we do have the 5-3 stochastics pointing down, and we are up against resistance and seeing some profit-taking pausing to our uptrend developing. Again, we'll see how things unfold. The remaining charts here under the queues are the intraday views between 60 minutes, I think down to 10 minutes. You can view them on your own time in detail. Again, we have the Fibonacci retracement levels on here should we start to pull back to deeper levels. So we're going to move through all of these charts and go down now to the indicators. The first indicator we're showing is the New York Stock Exchange Summation Index, and then above that you can see the McClellan Oscillator. The Summation Index, as we state here, is a good intermediate trend indicator. You can see it's something that typically trends. Yes, does it have some whipsaws? Yeah, you're going to get that occasionally, but overall it'll catch the major trends. Currently, it's pretending an uptrend. Again, we can narrow it down to a wave 5, we get some type of pullback, but in the bigger scheme of things, this still is pointing up. However, we are starting to see some divergence form on the McClellan Oscillator itself. You can see with the New York Stock Exchange below is making higher highs, the McClellan Oscillator is not. And as you can see, we had a small advance there, or a small change on Friday, as we talked about. Typically, alluding to a larger move to materialize following a small change in the McClellan Oscillator. We covered that earlier. Again, the next chart is a NASI. Same thing here. Same exact thing. Now let's move on and look at the VIX. You can see this is a line chart of the VIX. It appears to be forming a bullish falling wedge. It continues to move down within this wedge and or channel type pattern, but we are seeing once again some positive divergence form on this recent low. Are we ready to turn up sharply? Who knows? Only time will tell. But if we break decisively out of this pattern and continue to move up, that would also support at least some type of deeper pullback on the indexes. The 60-minute view of the VIX is next. Here again, you can see that after completing, and I did show this little ending diagonal last week on the VIX 60-minute chart, stating that volatility was likely to pick up. Here you can see 5 waves down, we did start picking up in terms of volatility. Even though the market rallied last week, the VIX is starting to move up, as some pros are, needless to say, hedging off some of their positions. They're anticipating more volatility going forward. That's what we're seeing. So you can see the rising channel now that appears to be in place here on the VIX. Again, we'll see how things unfold day to day. The next chart, and this is a very interesting chart, was first introduced to us by one of our blog members, Simon Says. J.C. Comptonade also put out a clean chart on it. And again, this chart has done a nice job of capturing some of the larger trend reversals in the market. And simply put, when this indicator, the VIX VXV, falls below 0.92 and then subsequently rallies back above and stays above 0.92 is when we've seen some pullbacks and or sell-offs materialize. You can see by the purple vertical dashed lines. We saw that back in late 07, again a couple of times in 08, early 09. So it has done a nice job of identifying some major trend reversals. Again, we have not moved above 0.92. We closed at 0.9127. We need to see a close above that for this particular indicator to support some type of deeper pullback that may be unfolding. Again, no indicator is something that is the holy grail, but when they have been accurate in predicting trend reversals, It's something to respect. And we are focused now on the reversal from underneath, and that would be a potential sell signal on the S&P. Again, maybe it's just going to be something that leads to a small little consolidation pullback. It doesn't tell us necessarily the degree of the pullback. Needless to say, if this starts impulsing up, you can see that when it impulses up quite high, we tend to get deeper pullbacks. So it's something to monitor, and we'll do so going forward. And then finally, the last chart that I'm going to cover tonight is just a view, and this is what the watch list is all about. This is a perfect term, watch list. We've been talking about some of the inverse funds for a couple of days. Well, they're on a watch list for a potential turn. It's better to bring them out a couple of days in advance than 2 days after the fact, and be ready should the market start to confirm its pullback and breaking above some of these breakpoints. That is at least a trade trigger. Now, whether it materializes into some type of longer-term swing trade, too early to tell. But it's a valid entry for short-term traders and swing traders. Just trade it according to your objectives and risk tolerance. Again, if you've been frustrated, take part off. If it breaks up and makes a sharp move, take half off on the initial thrust up and set a stop on the balance. Okay? That's one way to play it. You don't have to go all or none. So here again, this is one particular inverse fund that is setting up potentially as a trade opportunity off the bottom. As you can see, the positive divergence is forming. So whether or not it breaks out, only time will tell. But should we start to get a deeper pullback in the market, you can rest assured that this will break out to the upside, and you should be prepared ahead of time to act. That's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it back over to Matt.
Thanks, Steve. The last section here, I'm going to discuss the mechanical trading systems briefly. Over the weekend, I updated the statistics for the mechanical trading systems. The last update, I think, was a little over a month ago, and so over the weekend, I went ahead and updated the statistics on the reference page, as you can see here. And I still have to update some of the individual statistics on the statistics pages, but on the reference page, it's updated. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, the mechanical trading systems, July and June, the gains have been minimal for many of the systems because of the volatility is low, etc. And but the one mechanical system that still continues to perform well is our original SRS 15-minute mechanical system that I think I presented back in October 2008, last year originally. Continues to perform well. Again, the parameters are located in the premium content section. You can see that I have them blocked out here. This is for paying members. If you're a two-week member, that's the one area of the section of the website you do not have access to. They are reserved for paying members only. But those of you who are paying members, you know what the you know which system I'm talking about. It's the original SRS 15-minute system. You can see I have it highlighted in the table, so it's the first one on the top of the table. The you can see the second area of stats. This is the SRS 15-minute end-of-day mechanical system. And you can see it has made 22% in July. And so, again, this system has been holding up very well. 71% of the trades were profitable in July so far. Versus about 39% in June. The system has been doing very well for many, many months, and it's back to double-digit gains. And June was the first single-digit month since May of 2008. And so this system continues to hold up well. And, you know, the other systems above are valid. There's nothing wrong with them. But they are whipsawing more than this original 15-minute mechanical trading system. So just letting you know that if you wanted to cut back on some of the other systems and just maybe trade one of them, this one continues to do well. And the next chart shows you the profit curve of the original 15-minute SRS mechanical system. You can see the profit curve continues to just be have a nice trend up. And so whenever you see that, it tells you that the system is fine. Whenever you see profit curves start to go sideways or trend down, that tells you it's time to turn off mechanical systems. But you do not see that in this chart, and so there's nothing wrong with it. The system looks good. Lastly, I want to mention a mechanical system that I'm going to add to the premium content list later this week. I do not have time to add it this weekend, and I do not think I'm going to have time to add it tonight because it's already late, and I still have to get out the other newsletter. This is another 15-minute SRS system. It's a swing system. Again, I'm going to add this to the section later this week. These are some of the charts to the system. The system is a little more advanced than the other systems. It has scale-out features, which means that you, when you enter a trade, you scale out of your position in three price targets. You can see on this first chart here, if you look in the middle of the chart, it says short 5,373 shares or $100,000 worth of SRS. And then you can see there's two scale-outs. And then you exit the rest of your position later when the moving averages cross. And what that does is that makes your profit curve a little better. This system, again, is a swing system, which means that it can hold sometimes for several days. But do not let that, but by swing system, it is still not necessarily good for a 401k plan or an IRA where you have a three-day limit on when you can buy and sell a security, because the system does not have fewer trades than the end-of-day system. And I'll discuss that more later in a week. So the last few charts just show you some of the statistics to the swing system. Again, it's a little bit better than the end-of-day system, but not a lot better. So that's it. And later tonight, I'm going to be sending out the commodity newsletter, which is going to be short, and it's just going to be primarily on crude oil and precious metals. That's it. I will talk to you later. Thank you.